Praise God, it's good to be in his house today, amen. Come praise the Lord, for he is good. Come join in love and brotherhood. We'll bring our gifts of praise and love and worship God through Christ above. So let us pray together. God through Christ above. So let us pray together. Pray together. Pray in one accord. And let us sing together. Sing together. Singing praises to the Lord.
Praise you, my Lord Jesus. I love you, my God. I'm so thankful. Escape from our everyday life, Lord Jesus. I'm so thankful to be here with you, with my brothers and sisters, my God. I love you, my Lord, and I praise you, Jesus. Thank you, my God. Glory, Lord Jesus. I love you, Lord, and I praise you, my God. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. Let's sing song number 133, If I Could But Touch.
If I could but touch the hem of his garment, if I could but touch some part of his robe, I know I'd believe my sins are forgiven. If I could but touch him, I know I'd be whole. If I could but touch the hem of his garment, if I could but touch some part of his robe, I know I'd believe my sins are forgiven. If I could but touch him, I know I'd be whole. If I could but touch the hem of his garment, if I could but touch some part of his robe, I know I'd believe my sins are forgiven. If I could but touch him, I know I'd be whole. If I could but touch the hem of his garment, if I could but touch some part of his robe, I know I'd believe my sins are forgiven. If I could but touch him, I know I'd be whole.
Thank you, my Lord Jesus. I love you, my God. I'm so thankful that you're right here, Lord, where we can feel you and touch you. I love you, and I thank you for how present you are in our lives, my Lord Jesus. I praise you, my God. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory, my God. Glory, Lord Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. I praise you, Lord, and I thank you, my God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Glory, glory, my Lord. Glory, my God. Praise God. You may be seated. Let's sing song number 63, He's Fairer Than the Lily of the Valley.
He is fairer than the lily of the valley. He is brighter than the morning star.
Thank you, Micah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. Kirsten Inger and Mary Jo have a special for us tonight if they could come up.
I've had those promises on my mind this week, too. And the thing that I keep thinking about is that the future comes with promises. And there's no way to separate the future from the things that God has promised to do in our lives and to do in the world. And that those things are fixed and certain so that we can count on them and that we can count on the things that he's promised he will do for us in order to bring us through them, and that they will glorify him. And I just want to sing to that glory tonight, so I ask you to worship.
Shining like the sun, at the trumpet calling.
Praise you, my God. Hallelujah, Jesus, Lord. Praise you, my God. Hallelujah, Lord. I call him Jesus, my rock. 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 Jesus, 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 Jesus. I call him Jesus, Jesus, my rock. I call him 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 Jesus, my rock. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I call him Jesus, Jesus, my rock. I call him Jesus, my rock. I call him Jesus, my rock.
Praise you, Lord,
and I thank you, Lord
Jesus.
Glory, my God. I love you, Lord. You are so wonderful and so amazing, my God. I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, my God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You may be seated. We're going to sing our last song tonight before Paul comes up and brings us the word of God. So thankful for how strongly God's Spirit is here tonight. I ask you guys to come up after the teaching, and let's just pick right up where we left off. We're going to sing, There's a River.
There is a river that flows from deep within.
Praise God. Will you all please stand for the word of the Lord?
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I love it when the plan goes together. All them songs are pretty much about what the teaching's going to be about. Aren't you glad you're living for God tonight? Especially when you look out in this world and see what's going on. What a blessing to already know God in His fullness. Amen. Good afternoon. I want to welcome everybody to the Apostolic Assembly here in Soldotna, Alaska. Beautiful Soldotna, Alaska. And I want to welcome all our visitors and our online folks. Glad you could join us again today. Just follow along. Make sure you got your Bibles with you. Make sure that everything that we teach across here is right there in black and white. We want you to leave here or get what God wants you to get online, because these words are words of life, and not only life, but life eternal. And how do they hear unless they're taught? How do they hear unless we speak? So this world is really crazy. I say that a lot, but I think week to week, it just amazes me how things progress. And this world is a really rough place to live in. Alaska is pretty much a safety haven up here. This is God's country, and He brought us here for a reason. And We know the signs that are out there. A lot of these are end time signs, and they should encourage us to get closer to God, to be stronger for Him, and to do the work that He's called us to do. Amen. There's things going on in the world where they really want, if your thoughts and your ideas are contrary to what they want to hear, you're going to get attacked for it. You're going to get persecuted for it. And I'll tell you, there were some things that happened in our state here not too long ago that really got my attention, and I couldn't quit writing the scriptures that I had for tonight. They're still in the folder at home, because I had to go with God. It was an uncontrolling thought. I couldn't put it down, and the scriptures just kept popping up to me, and it painted a different picture than I've ever had of these end times to me. The things that that we will have to endure if we're here, and what our responsibility is going to be. And we've talked a little bit about being strong and all that, but you're going to have to be close to God and to each other, because a Christian's rights are going to be taken away from them. They're working on it right now. Your freedom, as we know it today, this is probably as good as it's going to get. And it's going to go downhill from here. According to scriptures, this is not just my ideas. The scriptures talk about all these things. But I've never saw them like I saw them when I was studying this thing here. And we'll see a little bit more about that when we go into the scriptures. We need to pray for this world and our community. There's just a lot of things happening just right around our community. And I want to thank our needs committee and all the folks that look out for the problems that are in the community, that prepare the meals, that drop off the things, that send the cards. That stuff is important. It's important to people. It's important to God that we show the love and concern for humanity that he shows for us. Amen. And we have some dynamite people here that step up to the plate, that do their part. They make a meal. It's not like they don't have anything else to do. I mean, they're busy people. But they still take care of the needs of the community as they come up. And I want to thank you all for that tonight. Yeah, one of my notes was here was this world is on a crash course, but that can't stop us from doing what God's called us to do. But we have to step up. We have to pray for boldness, because we're going to need all we can get. And Jesus told us this stuff was going to happen. And I've said that before, but never have I ever seen it like I just did. I mean, you can be a well-known, good reputation, highly thought of person in the community, and because of your belief in God, you could wind up in jail, or even worse than that, the psychiatric ward. And there's a story out there right now that's, I don't know all about it. I'm not going to get into all that, except for it shows you just how fast things can happen in your life real quick, like in 1 or 2 days. You say something that the majority is not comfortable with, and your own family can put you in a bind without your consent. And so if they even think they got a problem with something, and they even think that they can, that you have a problem because they don't believe the way you believe, they can go to the right party and put you in a, you have to prove that what they're saying is not true. And that's a scary place. But the Bible teaches that, you know, your own family will turn against you in these end days. So just something to be aware of. There's a lot of, this teaching's kind of scary. But as long as we had tonight, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But these are the things that you have to endure. And my job is to bring this back to our remembrance, just how serious it is. And maybe you'll see it differently after the teaching, because I did. I didn't realize what a lot of this stuff really meant if you put it all together. So let's start out here in John, the 15th chapter, verse 16. John 15, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of this world, but I have chosen you out of this world, therefore the world hateth you. Now Jesus is telling us right here that this, right now we haven't had this kind of aggression towards us. Once in a while you have a little squirmish with somebody when you're witnessing to them or something, but not real persecution. Verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If you keep my sayings, they will keep yours. But all things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had a cloak. They had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. And when you point out to people what the scriptures teach, you're doing that. You're showing them, according to the word of God, that the things that they are doing are not right. And they don't want to hear that. They get convicted. And like the old saints, they even killed them, mobbed them, just did all kinds of things to them. And we're going to have to stand alongside of them people. Amen? Living for God is not easy to start with. It takes a real man or a woman to live for God. But in these end times, you're going to have to be close to God to stand. He had to give those people that were martyred and went through all the persecution, a little something extra. But they had to be close to him for him to be able to do that. Amen. Let's go to John, right next door, the 16th chapter, just four verses. All the way through God's word, there's warnings in here about these end times. Chapter 16 in John, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. Just that word right there. If every little thing that happens to you in your life offends you right now, be careful. A Christian should be meek, humble, but they're not weak. You have to have a little bit of a thick skin on you to deal with some of these situations without reacting to them in the natural. And if everything doesn't go just the way you think it should, and you have a problem with that, what are you going to do when you really get persecuted for the name of Jesus? I mean, that's a question to ask yourselves. What are you going to do? How will I react, Lord? I've asked myself that for years. What would I do if I was actually facing death because of my belief in God? What would I be able to do? What would I have to do? If they were doing something to my family, would I be able to stand? You have to. We have no choice. We have a choice, but the second one is not the one we want to make. We have to make the right decisions, but we have to be strong enough to make them. Amen? How do you get close to God? How do you get that? Study, pray, fast. On a daily basis, not when it's convenient. God cares about us. That's why he's bringing these scriptures out. I know this storm is coming, but I didn't know it was this close. I didn't realize that we were going to have to go through some things right away here within the next few years. We're still here. And we probably will be here. There's a lot of things there's a few things that need to line up before we can get out of here. But the way things are escalating right now, that wouldn't take very long. Verse 2, they shall put you out of the synagogues? Yeah. the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Jesus is telling them right there, they had no idea what they were going to have to face because of him. And neither did we. That's why this word of God is written for us on down the line, thousands of years later. Let's go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Always have to remember, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost and you're not full of it, you're easy prey for Satan. You're easy prey. You're a puppet. He can do anything he wants with you. You see all these really bad things that happen in the world? If Satan would get on anybody he wanted to, they'll do the same thing. We'll do the same thing. Every sin that's in this Bible, we're capable of doing, believe it or not. If God pulls that hedge away from his people, we are just as vulnerable as anybody else. We need to remember that. That's why you need to stay close to God. He doesn't want anybody to fail. If we fail, it's because we won't do our part. Amen?
Amen.
Let's start out Ephesians 6th chapter, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How are you going to do that? Like we just got done saying. Pray, fast, study, stay close to him every day. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is a spiritual world out there that we can't see. That's just as real as this natural world. Realer, because that one made the natural world. That's why we need to retrain our minds, stay close to God every day. Don't give Satan any little crack that he can get in, because he knows us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows just exactly how to make us fall. And he can plant that seed. 3 months from now, you'll fall because you'll your seeds planted, you should think on it once in a while. When you're at your weakest moment, you'll fall. So don't let that happen to you. Please don't let that happen to you. We all have to make this rapture. We have to. There's no getting around it. We have to make it. Once you get that in your mind that you have to, there's no out, your living for God will become a lot easier because you're going to live for him for 110%. And when you do, you can't fail. He says you won't ever fail if you put me first. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 13, well, four, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's why you need to know this word of God. You have to be able to give people an answer when they ask you a question. How are you going to witness to anybody if you don't know the word of God? There's no way you can witness to them. They'll ask you one question. You say, well, I'll have to look that up. I'll say, what? You're talking about this and you don't even have the ammunition? we have to know this Word of God. We have to be able to explain it to people. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching, therefore, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Pray for each other, pray for yourselves, and pray constantly. And for me, that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of this gospel, for which I am an ambassador in the bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now that's us. That's not, if Paul had to ask for boldness, all the great things that he did, he had to ask this church of Ephesus to pray for him, for boldness. If he had to pray for it, if he had them pray for him, who are we? I mean, you have to pray for boldness. Some people are a little more bold than others, but I'll tell you, when we're facing some of these things we're getting ready to face, you're going to have boldness. There's no way around it. Amen? Let's go to Matthew, the 10th chapter. If you think about it, we've lived a pretty blessed life here in Alaska for the last, some of us have been here 40-some years, almost 50 years. We haven't had much persecution. This is the promised land for us. This has been an awesome place to live. Yeah, the winters are a little bit long, but every place has got its plus and minuses. I don't care where you live at. But I'll tell you what, you stay full of the Holy Ghost and you're where God wants you to be. This stuff rolls off you like water off a duck back. It's not that big of a deal. And then consider where we're going to go. What we're working on. We've got a job here. We're working towards an end. Our 401k is in heaven. That's what we're working on. That's the one that counts. Nothing can take that away from us. That's another thing. People are allowed to lose their life savings here, the way things are going. Everything that you've put away might be gone. There's a lot of stuff that goes on that we don't even have any idea how bad it is. Just a little bit that trickles out to the public is scary enough. Matthew, the 10th chapter, let's start out in verse 16. Now this is us. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, that they will scourge you in the synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my name's sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. See, mankind has to be made accountable for their actions. And when we don't cower underneath the authority, we're supposed to obey the laws of the land. But when they conflict with what God's laws are, we don't compromise that. We can't. Amen? Verse 19, but when they deliver you, when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now, you have your spiritual ears on here, I hope, because this is how it's going to be. And we're getting closer and closer and closer to that right now. Let's jump down here to verse 26. We sang that song tonight. How God's always with his people to protect them. He never lets it go any farther than it needs to. But that's up to him how far that goes. And he tells us right here in verse 26, fear them not, therefore, there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid shall not be known. But I tell you in darkness that you speak in light, and what you hear in the ear, you preach ye upon the housetops. Now, you know, there's a lot of things that we pick up on in this life, and we know they're not right. But when it comes up in conversation, and we don't stick up for what's right in God, what does that tell us? How does he think he feels about that? When we won't acknowledge him to even a stranger, how do you think he feels about that? When you consider what he did for us, we were doomed, man. I can't go there. I mean, I just can't understand how I could not stick up for my God. I mean, whatever. I mean, this is temporary. If I go down, I go down. We can't be worried about this life. We got to be ready for the next one. And if, whatever it takes to get there, according to his word. Not according to what I'm saying, according to this word right here. Everything that I say right here is right here in black and white. And he says, get on the housetops. That doesn't mean you go over in the corner here and whisper to somebody. That means you say it no matter how many people are around. I've witnessed the people. There's been quite a few people in the area, and pretty soon it got real quiet, but they were all listening to what I had to say to this one person. That doesn't come overnight. Unless you're an evangelist, called an evangelist, you have to pray. Even at that, there's times that I've had to step out, and I wasn't quite sure if I was step out right then or not because of the situation. But I did anyway. I thought, you know what? Nobody ever died for me but Jesus, okay? These guys don't care nothing about me. When I'm gone, they'll get another one in here. And so with that in mind, it made it easier for me, I'll put it that way. Because you get a lot of peer pressure out there. Don't you? I mean, in the workplace, in school, wherever. I mean, there's conversations that go on in the grocery store in the line where something comes up, you know. I always try to slide something in there in case somebody's listening about God this or God that. And sometimes I get a response. Sometimes from the checker, sometimes from the person behind me. You got to try the waters. If you don't try the waters, they'll never ripple. Verse 28, here's what we need to worry about. And fear not them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? One of them shall not fall to the ground without your father, but that every hair on your head are all numbered. Fear you not, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. I wonder sometimes if we realize just how valuable we are to God. We talked a little bit about, you know, if you're here, that you love God and all that. But think about all the people you've talked to. I'll just take it personally, all the people I've talked to and how many people I got to come to church. Not that many. So if you're here, you're special to God. God's people are special to him. And you need to realize how special you are to God. But he needs to be special to you too. And he needs to feel that and hear that from you. You know, these one-sided love affairs don't get it, man. When somebody's always telling you they're doing something for you, they love you, and you never do nothing to back to show them that you care about them. What does that say about you? It doesn't say much about you. It means it's all about me, is what it means. It's all about me. What can I do to get ahead? What can I do to be happy? Where can I go? What can I do when I get back? I'm already thinking about the next trip I can make, or next place I can go, or the clothes I can buy, whatever. God needs to be first. And he'll give you the rest of that stuff in time, in due time, if that's what you want. Some people are content without all that stuff. We need to be content no matter what state we're in. Amen? That verse 30 has always got me, but every hair of your head are numbered. Think about that, that every human being on the face of this earth that ever was, that ever will be, he's got their hairs numbered. That's unbelievable. That's the kind of God we're serving. You think he can't do something for us? We're in a bind. He's got us covered. We got to have enough trust and faith in him and each other to get this job done. Amen?
Amen.
Is this going to take trust and faith? Verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Now here's the punchline, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father. Think I have come to make peace on this earth? I came not to send peace, but the sword. For I am come to set a man against variance against his father, and daughter against his mother, and the daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall they of his own household. It tells you right now, this is what's going on in the world right now. Parents and children are so far apart anymore, it's not even funny. I mean, and there's good families out there, don't get me wrong. But the increase in this kind of stuff about the things that children do to their parents now, call them the way they talk to them, there's no respect. It's not right in God. God tells you to respect your parents. And if the parents, a lot of this stuff goes right down to the parents too. They weren't brought up in the way they should go. But that still doesn't give a kid the liberty to do and say and do some of the bizarre things they do to their parents. Verse 37, he that loveth the father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. That's the punchline right there. I don't deal out crosses, I just try to carry mine. I pray for somebody that I see that's got a heavy burden on them, but I can't carry the cross for them. I don't know why certain things happen to certain people. I mean, it doesn't, in my natural mind, I don't see it, why it happens. But I know God does, and I trust God. We have to trust God for this stuff. No matter what happens in our life, we have to trust God. If we really, really believe this word of God, we have to trust him. And then we have to act accordingly. If we really trust him, what are we going to do? What way are we going to go? What are we going to say? How are we going to live? All that shows our faith and trust in God. And how we act and react and tough situations shows God, hey Lord, I trust you. I know this is beyond me, but I trust you. That's what he wants to hear. Because you're going to have a strong faith to stand. And this is what all these negative things do, is build your faith in God. Because when you get on the other side of these things, you feel, oh yeah, Lord, you got me through that one. You got me in a situation, out of a situation that I just couldn't see no way out of. You're going to need a strong faith and trust in God and be close to Him to endure what we're talking about right here. Amen. I'm going to read that 38 again. Him that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. That's an awesome. He puts it, that last part of there is, if you lose your life for my sake, shall find it. Life and death is, to us, is a big deal. But we're temporary in this world. The next one's the one we're working for. We get wrapped up on this one here, we're going to have a hard time making the next one. Hard time. We need to get wrapped up in Jesus today. Amen. Let's go to Mark, the 8th chapter. You know, I like the way the Word of God explains this stuff over and over again. It gives us a complete understanding of what God really, really requires from us, which is really not that big of a deal. Obedience. If you're obedient, everything else falls in place. Amen. If you want the will of God in your life and everything you say, do, and go, come, whatever, you can't lose out with God. There's no way. If you really mean it, there's no way you're going to lose out. We need to remember that, because sometimes that natural overrides what God really has for you. Mark 8th chapter, let's start out verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's. See, the reason I read this is because the other one didn't have the gospel in there. My sake and the gospel, the same shall be saved. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain his whole world and lose his soul in the end? Or what shall a man give exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation which we're living in right now, of him also the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in glory of his Father with the holy angels. If you're ashamed of me now, I'll be ashamed of you then. We don't want to go there. We do not want to embarrass God. We do not want to not stand up for him. Not want to be so thankful for what he's done for us. To show him that love and respect that he has coming. And that means in his house, everything we do in his house and outside of his house. We show respect for God in his ways and everything we do and say. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Romans, first chapter. This is Paul here, but this is us also. Everything that's in this Word of God is for us. Romans, the first chapter, verse 14. I'm a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. God's not a respecter of persons, and neither are we. None of us are any better than anybody else. Amen. Verse 15. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach this gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of this gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul says right here, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. He died for it. If that's the case, so be it. What are we going to say about that? God knows what's best for his people. He knows just exactly what it's going to take to save our soul. And he'll put us in a situation that will prove us and try us to make sure that we're strong enough to get there, if we'll let him. That stiff-necked and hard-hearted, I want to do it my way, it's not going to work with God. God has been extremely good to us, and it's real easy to get kind of not only complacent, but kind of thinking some of that's my hard work. God doesn't bless what you do, it doesn't happen, especially if you're one of his. Amen. Let's turn to Isaiah, the 5th chapter. This is what's going on in the world right now. Isaiah, the 5th chapter, start with verse 20 through 24. This is the world that we live in right now. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and that light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Look at the division in this country right now. It's unreal. And this is just the start of things. This is just, when I'm praying about it, all I see is this thing snowballing, just going faster and faster from week to week. This bitterness and strife and contention that's in the world, we can't even be named in God's people. Amen? We can't have any part of that stuff in our midst. No way. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. That's another problem. People get puffed up because things have been pretty good for them. Humility. We've talked about humility quite a bit. That brings up a little thought that I had when I was studying this about humility. I was in a supervisory position for quite a few years. And that thing went away, and I was supposed to go to another one, and that job didn't happen, and on. So finally, I always said to myself when I was supervisor that, man, I wished I was welding again. I don't have to put up with all these politics and all that stuff. So I went out welding for about a year or something. And right off the bat, it was pretty humbling for me. Oh, I thought you used to be a boss and all that kind of stuff. And I had to suck it up, man, for a few days. I didn't think I'd ever be like that. But I was. I had already got puffed up a little bit because I was a boss. I had a hard time going back down a little bit. But who do I think I was? I mean, I'm not, who am I? I'm nobody. I mean, God supplied a good job for me. I should have been happy that I had a job, let alone what kind of a job I had. And I was thinking about it one day when I was working. I just, hey, you need to just thank God you're working and blow that stuff off when people say negative things to you. And I did, and it was fine after that. But a reminder. I don't know if anything like that's ever happened to anybody else. I'm sure it has. But because you're here and you have to go down here, maybe he'll bring you back up, way up higher than you were before. And maybe you won't. But who cares? As long as you're in God, happy, and he's happy with you, who cares what you're doing? You know, if you have to dig a ditch, he'll give you the power to dig a ditch. I mean, it's some of this stuff, when you really look at it spiritually, our nature is really something when you think about, hey, this is who I am, and I don't go down there, or look up at me, or whatever. Just a thought. Just, if it's ever happened to you, think about it. If it hasn't, well, it might happen to you someday. Verse 22. One of them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Believe me, when Jesus comes back, all that macho stuff is not going to hold up. There's not one human being that's strong enough to even look at him, let alone say anything to him. But that's in men, especially when you're working out and you're feeling good. When I was a young bronc, I stayed in pretty good shape. And boy, I was puffed up. I really was. I was lucky I didn't get hurt because I was so puffed up. But your health and being in good shape and stuff, it adds another dimension to being humble in God. It's harder to stay humble when everything's going good. It's the same way with money. That's why there's stuff in the Bible about money. Money changes people, man. Changes them a lot sometimes. It doesn't have to. There's nothing wrong with it. But a lot of people who have money, they look at life a whole different way. And some of them look down on people, and that's for the little folks and all that. I remember a lady spent some time in prison like that because she said that to a judge, and he came up the hard way. He had to work to put himself through school, and he had to do a lot of the jobs that nobody else wanted to do. And she probably would have slid on that deal, except for she said to him, he asked her why she didn't pay her taxes, and she said, oh, that's for the little folks. She landed in prison for that one. If she would have just been humble, he probably would have given her probation. That's a natural example, but it could be spiritual too. Verse 23. Which justly the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Good, evil. Evil for good, and good for evil. Here's what God has to say about that. Verse 24. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their bosom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. We don't want to be any part of that. Any part of that. Amen? We want to give credit where credit's due. Give God our undivided attention and live the holiest life we can live in front of you. From the world and everybody else. Amen? Let's finish this up in Revelations. I like to finish up on a positive note, man. I mean, we got to go through some pretty negative stuff maybe sometimes, but there's a reason for it. There's a reason for everything that's in this Bible, and it's all for the good of God's people. If you can just remember that everything that you have to go through is for a reason. It's a reason to perfect us, to get rid of this old nature, to be long-suffering, to be gentle, to be loving, to have meekness in our life, kindness. Everything that happens to us is to cultivate that fruit. Amen. How about Revelation, the 22nd chapter? This is what we're working for right here. This is payday. Like that one song says, it'll be worth it all. when we get through all this stuff, it'll be worth it all. When we're looking back at this, and we're going to be looking back at it. Hey, thank you, Lord, for your love and mercy. If it wasn't for that, I would have never made it. That's one thing we never want to forget, is God's love and mercy for us. It's easy to do when things are going good. That old nature don't want to come under that strong will of God. Sometimes they take it personally, though. When it comes across this pulpit, you're looking at a human being, okay? And who are you to be telling me what to do? You know, that type of stuff. I mean, I've had them feelings myself, so I know I can't be the only one in this world like this. But I know they were for my good, and I had to look at myself. And when I looked at myself, I was ashamed of myself for even feeling that way. But that old nature's strong. It's got to be broken, and it's got to be kept down. Amen? Amen. Revelation chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were from the healing were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, no more cry, no more death, no more sorrow, no loss of loved ones, no strife and contention, nothing. What a beautiful life that's going to be, man. And that's forever. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Wow. Can I get that stamp a little early? And there shall be no more night there, and they need no candle, neither light of sun. For the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That's us. That's his people. Aren't you excited about that? I mean, I have to read this stuff to refocus sometimes, but it's exciting to me. You know, granted, I'm a little bit older than a lot of folks out here, but you don't know. Tomorrow you might be there. You never know what's going to happen after we leave this building. You never know what's going to happen while we're in it. But God does. Amen. And God loves us, man. I mean, he loves us, and he puts that in our heart to love each other. And, you know, if you got pastors and assistant pastors and teachers, they feel the same way about you. You know, when I'm studying, sometimes I see certain people's faces in certain situations. And it just makes me want to pray for them. Sometimes pray for happy, sometimes pray for a little bit concerned. But nevertheless, I pray for them because I care. And God puts that love for his people in his pastors, assistant pastors, and his teachers, and each other. We have that love for each other. Amen. I mean, do you really feel like that? Because the Bible talks about genuine love, not being lip service, just saying, well, I love you, but I mean, I love certain people more than others and all that. There shouldn't be no discrimination there when it comes to that love. You should treat everybody the same and give everybody the same amount of time you'd give this person. 6, and he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants these things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly, and blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. That's us. We're going to keep them, right? Right? We got to make it. I mean, we need each other to make it too. That was my last scripture. I love you guys. I love God. I love all about it. I just want us all to be in one mind accord, happy, no matter what's going on in our lives, and God happy with all of us. Amen. Have a good week. Like I said before, pick out, pray about just one person you might be able to witness to this week. At least try to talk to them. If they tell you they don't want to hear nothing, well, that's different. But pray and have God put somebody on your heart that you can actually reach this week. Amen.
Praise God, this altar's open for you. Won't you come and receive all that He has for you tonight? He's coming back someday to catch His bride away. When we hear that trumpet sounding in the sky, we'll be caught up to meet Him in the twinkling of an eye. He's coming, hallelujah, He's coming back someday. Oh yes, He's coming back someday to catch His bride away. When we hear that trumpet sounding in the sky, we'll be caught up to meet Him in the twinkling of an eye. He's coming, hallelujah, He's coming back someday. Oh yes, He's coming back someday to catch His bride away. When we hear that trumpet sounding in the sky, we'll be caught up to meet Him in the twinkling of an eye. He's coming, hallelujah, He's coming back someday. Oh yes, He's coming back someday to catch His bride away. When we hear that trumpet sounding in the sky, we'll be caught up to meet Him in the twinkling of an eye. He's coming, hallelujah, He's coming back someday. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown, we shall wear a crown. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown, we shall wear a crown, we shall wear a crown. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown, we shall wear a crown. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. When the battle's over.